Greetings. I am Shisada Akona Kamada, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine. Good evening. This is Shisada Kono Kamara, and this is Satsang with the Shambhala Center. I'm graced again with the presence of PLAN over here, looking very producer-like. I wish you all could see us in our little setup here in my office, because PLAN looks a little like Dr. Dre. She's got this whole headset thing going on. It's actually quite funny. It's hard sometimes to do the program and not laugh. So, thank you for coming to see us and listen again. Hopefully you tuned in last week for Thanksgiving. I know it's a tough night for people, but we actually had a beautiful program. I had the ability last week to actually listen because we had pre-recorded that program, and I was able to actually sit and just listen to the program like all of you do each week. And I was very pleased with how everything is coming. It's hard when I teach, period, or when I sit with a student or doing this program, it's, how do I say it? The personal self kind of just can't be here for this portion. So it's like it just kind of steps aside, and the information that comes kind of just moves through. And I have like no memory of what gets said, the order of it. It's a very fleeting thing. So a lot of times even you'll notice as we move forward that there will be times where, I have to ask PLAN to remind me of what I just said, or I know we've had one time before where I was speaking and I just completely lost where it was going because it was like it came and then I wasn't there to track it. So anyway, it was very fun last week to listen to us. And I hope you all enjoyed the song that we played at the end, by the Wailing Junnies. That was awesome. It actually brought me to tears. It was perfectly placed. So this week, there's just a lot going on. Now, we are going to, I think, start by talking just a little bit. I don't want to get too involved in the day-to-day stuff of what's actually happening now, because that's kind of beyond the scope of what we do here. But the energies are so crazy. I'm getting a finger. But
do you want to do the protection first?
Yeah, let's do the protection first. That's a great idea. Okay, so everybody go ahead, get centered. She has to remind me. I forget all these things. Nice deep breath. You can call yourself forward. Mother, Father, God, that I am, through the great central sun hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower bodies, not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light for everyone listening to the program. I ask that these shafts be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds, to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity and I place myself in service to this group tonight. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. And because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Very well done. And again, if any of you wants a copy of that protection, it is on the Satsang with the Shambhala Center page on BBS. You can get a copy of it right there. Okay, so the energies. Holy cow. Yeah. It's been off the hook. The reason that I'm bringing this up is that I wanted to share with you. Sometimes I what you don't know about me unless you know me is that I don't search for information anymore. I kind of just allow things to come to me because as this work is experiential, you'll find that that kind of your life just becomes experiential. It's quite beautiful. And by not searching in, quote unquote, the outside world for answers to questions, you find that everything exists inside of you. And then you'll come into your understandings. And then along the way, through the grace of synchronicity, spirit shows you that things that you have already come into an understanding of, that they are true, and you'll see that in the outside world. And it's a beautiful thing, a beautiful way to get confirmation of your own knowing. Whereas if you're out searching for information, then when you get that, you don't have the inner knowing that it's accurate. So if you allow it to work in reverse, that way, when you get your confirmation, you have the understanding like, wow, like I really saw that. That was mine. And so that's what's going on with the energies. The energies have been, wow, I mean, just as strong as I've felt them. I mean, they've been really, really crazy. And the thing that's becoming so interesting is that it's like, I was just saying to PLN earlier that, you know, what we're witnessing is we're witnessing the dissolution of this reality. And literally at this point, people who are sensitive, you can't not feel it. It's like everything is becoming so surreal in your experience of the outside world. You know, it's like I was saying to a student of mine yesterday that, you know, if you, I've got my hands kind of stuck together here, right? And if we're going to look at the right hand as say the positive polarity and the left hand is the negative, if your hands are like a few inches apart and this is where you've been existing, it's like you can live in that space and it feels like everything's normal. But now if you spread your hands a foot apart and you realize that that's what's going on, now at this point, it feels different, right? And so we're actually seeing this happen because, you know, as consciousness on the planet continues to expand and continues to lift, we have to witness the, pardon my language about it, but like the opposite of that here on the planet. And so we are witnessing just the craziest stuff going on. I mean, just things that are, it's like the world is falling apart. I mean, that's literally what it feels like. And within the span of just a few days, I mean, we had like several animals all dying, being killed or dying, like in my yard. A crown fell out of my mouth. We had a fountain in my backyard broke. My husband's truck broke down. I mean, like all of this stuff happened just in a few short days, and you're just watching the energy and it's like, wow, it's just absolutely crazy. The reason I'm bringing it up is because a lot of you are feeling it. And what happens is you, people, as soon as they feel the energy, what they do is they look out into the world for a reason for the energy because they want to label it. And that's not necessary. It actually is, it's kind of working against you to do that because that becomes something else that you're going to identify with. It's just energy. Okay. It's just energy. And so what I always tell people to remind themselves, especially in times like this, and this energetic, I'm telling you, is going to run through the end of this month into the beginning of next month. Easy. I feel it. And there's no question in my mind. It's going to ramp up even more. We may get a week or two where it's not so bad, but by the end of the month, it's going to be rough. So I tell people, you know, if you have to put a post-it note all over your house, that's fine. Stick a post-it note where you just say, it's only energy. It's only energy. You know, allow it. Remember last week we talked about sitting in the energy, right? When you've been triggered and you just sit still with it. Same thing. When you witness it, stop looking for a reason for it. Don't try to make it into something existing in the world. It's not, okay? Everything's coming up to a head. All the things that have been held in polarity are playing out, and you're going to see them in the outside world, and you're going to feel the energy of it. So just let it be the energy that it is, all right? Good time just to sit, to do your protection, get yourself clear, you know, take a deep breath if you have to. You know, you're at work and it's getting crazy, like excuse yourself to go to the girls' room or something and take a little break. Come back when you feel clear again. That's a really good thing to do. You're not just doing it for you. You're doing it for everyone. That's a big deal. People don't have that understanding. There is only one experiencing all of this. Okay. And you are that one. So if you're clear, everything's clear. So, see what I'm saying? Okay. So take the time to do it. It's an act of service for you to be clear. All right. So take the time just to do that. All right. It's an act of loving service. Okay. So what else do we need to talk about tonight? Now that that's out of the way.
We also were going to address that because we had some people that are newer to the work, and they were saying that some of the things that we're talking about are kind of over their head, or, you know, they feel like they're getting lost. So
yeah. Yeah. Okay. That. So thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, it's interesting because I've had people who are saying to me, an hour's not long enough. Like, it's not long enough. they're really into it, and it comes up to the end. They're like, no, don't stop, you know, but then other people are experiencing that, like, wow, you know, I just can't, it's not getting through to me, or I don't understand. The first thing that I would say to that is that as a multidimensional being that you are, understand, first of all, that you are getting it. Okay. Even though your conscious awareness doesn't feel like it's locking it in, there is a portion of you that already knows this. This is nothing new. There's a portion of you that's beginning to get reacclimated with the information. Okay. A lot of what will happen with our program is a lot of repetition, things that are going to come up, and we're always going to come back to some concepts that help create the matrix that you're living in, and experiencing. And you kind of can't hear it enough. I mean, you just can't. It seems like you struggle because you think, well, gosh, people will get tired of hearing the same thing. But then I think back to when I was very deep in my own work, and I would sit there and listen to the same thing over and over and over from Atona Reyes. And I would always be grateful for every single time she said it. Even if I heard it 100 times, it didn't matter, because every time you hear it, it locks in a little more. Okay. And again, the important thing to recognize is that in doing this dissolution work, we have to, there are some people who are kind of down on the whole concept of doing patterning work, or, and dealing with, patterned consciousness. And the thing is that, you know, there's the path of, bhakti, right? You've got the path of devotion. It's beautiful, but it's incredibly difficult for most people to walk that path, because you have to truly surrender to it in order for it to be effective in yielding because the path of devotion will yield the same, understandings that you get through the path that we walk, which is more using the mental faculty. And then of course, walking this path yields the same amount of devotion that you get on the other side. It's the same. It's just different, right? And if you walk the path of devotion, it is incredibly difficult for most people to surrender to that level. I mean, it requires a full surrender. For a lot of people who are very mental, and obviously, you know, this is very left-brained world, so everyone is very mental, and it just seems like it's a little easier to come in at this place. It's just, okay, bear with me for 1 second. Okay. Sorry for that. Sometimes what happens what we're looking at is consciousness is enslaved into this, reality that we're experiencing. And it believes it to be the reality, that this is real. And what we have to do, and this is the beauty of this type of work, is we're actually creating an inroad into consciousness. All right. It's the best way I can describe it. I can't think of another way that, That's kind of just the only way I've been given to describe it. It's creating this inroad. Without the inroad, it's like you've got a blocker up that will always keep you from seeing what is there to be seen through this level of work. Okay. And you just don't walk into this work and sit down and take one workshop and it's like, oh, I've got it. It just doesn't work that way. You're looking at, you know, the way patterned consciousness is constructed, the way everything is, put into place here. You know, it's serving the purpose of keeping you in the program. Right. Now, at the same time, understand this is polarized. It's doing both. It's also giving you every single little thing you need to walk out of the program simultaneously. They're the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin. That is exactly what's happening here. But for most people, what they see when they start doing the work is, oh my God, it's like there's a trap around every corner. And that's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And it's working. She's laughing over here. I think she's seen that on her own. It's working to, you know, for most people who don't have, the ability to have someone who can guide them, you know, they can pick up a book and kind of do the reading, but there's always something that lower mind will come up with to get you to stop moving forward with it. It'll create a block. Like literally when people sit and work with me, there will be something I will guide them to see. And there'll be something that will come and I will say it. And literally you watch it happen with them where the mind hits a wall and it just stops. And they'll be like, you know, like they've got this deer in the headlights look, like it's like mind stops and it's looking for something to latch onto. It has nothing to latch onto because what it comes up against is truth and it doesn't know what to do. Right. And it will fight it. And then you come up with all kinds of things like, you know, feeling nauseous or feeling really super tired. I had this a lovely little tidbit that I will share that Atona shared with me several times before. I just get the big kick out of it. She had one woman she used to work with that every time they would work together, she'd fall asleep. And literally it got to the point where when the woman would come to spend time with her, she'd say, you know, I'm just going to go to sleep and you just talk to me. You know, she's like, I know I'm getting it somehow because it's just going to happen anyway. And then this is what happens. It's like that lower mind, it literally will shut down because she just wasn't capable of taking it in. Right. So her body literally just shut down on her. So if you're finding that things that I say are confusing you, that's what we call a threshold. That's actually a lovely place to be. Just stick with it. Okay. If you find that things I say are making you defensive, beautiful. It means I'm doing my job. Stick with it. If you find you feel confused, right? Frustrated. It's okay. It's supposed to happen that way. All right. You have to think of it this way. It's like the lower mind right now is in defensive mode. It's what it hears. It knows, you know, there's a level of it that understands what actually is coming. And it's going, no, I don't think so. We're not doing that. I'm comfortable with it the way it is here. And I don't want to change. And so that's where the observer, when that observer gets strengthened, you know, the observer is capable of standing outside of the personal self. And it's the observer who's really capable of really, truly seeing what's going on. The personal self can't. It just fights too hard. It just fights too hard all the time. And it's very, very subtle how the mind does this. And, you know, the longer you stick with it, the more you start to see, the more you will recognize, the subtleties that are involved in what's going on that actually holds this whole reality in place. It's incredibly subtle. But it takes time to get there. You know, this is definitely not I'm going to listen for a few weeks and then I got it and we're good to move on to something else. This is not that work. You know, this is really for people who want to be in it for the long haul, knowing it will challenge you every step of the way at a level you've never been challenged before, ever.
Can I ask a quick question? Would it be appropriate to say, because this phrase has been coming up a lot lately, that doing this work is kind of unlearning what you've learned?
Absolutely. It's exactly what's going on. If you think of it as the essence of you, the heart, you know, the divinity that you are, and you carry that in your heart, there's an actual secret chamber inside the spiritual heart center that remains locked. And for people who work with me, we actually have an exercise we can do where you actually can move into that chamber on your own. It's a beautiful thing. But the I am is connected into that, you know, that chamber in your heart, and your threefold flame sits there. You know, I just completely lost what you, see, here it goes again. You were asking me about,
unlearning what you have learned.
Thank you. Unlearning. And yeah, so that is the divine, you know, beginningless, endless, formless, single being, knowledge, bliss. It's right there. And as I said last week, the heart is ever expanding, right? That's what consciousness is. It's ever expanding. If you can even try to wrap your head around that, you know, I love it. Like you take the comet Ison thing. I just saw a fact on that, you know, Ison, the scientists say now, is 4.5 billion years old, right? About the same age as this solar system. And this is the first time it ever moved through our solar system.
Oh, wow.
Crazy. I mean, so if you can even, you can't even conceptualize that. I mean, something moving at that rate of speed, and it's been moving for 4.5 billion years, and it just now is getting here, right? I mean, how do you even wrap yourself around that? And you're greater than that. I mean, you know, you are beginningless and endless. Beginningless and endless. I mean, you have to try to kind of just sit with that. So what you are is unchangeable. I mean, the true nature of what you are, there's nothing there that would change, right? But everything else that's not what you are is completely changeable. And that is this reality that we live in, you know? And so this work is absolutely an unlearning, right? So when consciousness came into this reality and it was veiled and it moved into, you know, this dualistic place, it literally took on the beliefs of those around it, right? And of course, as parents, we think we're doing a great job teaching our kids all this stuff, right? And what we're actually doing is teaching them all the things they're going to have to unlearn later, because literally all of it has to get dropped in order to transcend this reality. And that's what we're all here. That's why we're showing up to do the work, because there are those of us on the planet, you know, it's not some kind of coincidence. There's a very specific reason that I'm doing this work now. There's a very specific reason that you're listening. You wouldn't be if you weren't ready to move to the next levels of understanding. And ultimately, that is the point. It is to transcend this reality and to get back into your beingness. You know, what people don't understand is like, this is going to trigger some of you, but you aren't even living your own life. You know, you really aren't. You're a program that's running a program that you're calling you, but you aren't living it. You're reacting to outside stimulus, right? And that's what all the brain is doing. The brain says, oh, you know, that belief just got challenged. So let's fire all these specific synapses in the specific order, and it's going to create a reaction out of you. And then you're going to do this, and then they're going to do this back. And that's going to enable you to, you know, sit in this judgment, and then you're going to do that. That's all that's going on here, right? Other than moments where you truly are in your heart. And when you are truly in your heart, now you're living. And that's exactly why we're here. You know, that's why we were here in the beginning before the fall of consciousness happened. I mean, you're here as a co-creator with Source. You know, it's an amazing thing. God says, let me experience myself, you know? And what, here's a unique, PLEN, you know, a very unique construction of the rays of light, unique unto her, right? There's no one else in all of creation just like that who's constructed that way. And now let's see what PLEN is going to do, you know, to move and to co-create. She's, because she's going to co-create from her construction of the rays, which would be different than mine, right? And this is what's happening in the illumined worlds. It's amazing, you know, just amazing. But here, it all the energies that come in. Now, here's an understanding that I'll give you that's like probably way too far ahead, but we'll do it anyway. That, you know, you all, I'm sure, are very familiar with the chakra system, and you have an understanding of the different colors of the chakras. Are you have any awareness that the colors that you know of are actually the disqualified colors for the chakras? And people go, what? What does that mean? So that means when you're focused on, you know, my heart chakra is supposed to be green. Is it? No, it actually isn't. That's the disqualified color of the heart chakra. So what happens is when the energetic impulses that come in through source and they actually come in through you, they come in pure and they get disqualified when they hit you and they move into identification and they get disqualified. So now all the energy that you are pushing out through your chakra system is disqualified energy. And you can actually do beautiful work with the rays of light to help requalify that energy. But when you're walking in the state of Christ consciousness, all of those chakras are functioning the way they were designed to function. And what you're sending out, the energetics that you are sending out, are so powerful in a very beautiful, beautiful way, you know. And that's what we were all created to do, you know, to move that pure energy and to continue to create with it. And that's what we will all get back to. I mean, you know, you're destined to succeed. There's no way you can ultimately fail this test of, you know, 3D. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, it's like you're destined to your own perfection. It's just a matter of how long it's going to take you to get there. You know, how resilient is the personal self and how hard does it want to fight? How long is it going to hold on? You know, but at some point, there will come the point where you will recognize that you just don't care what it takes anymore. You just want truth or freedom or whatever you want to call it, but you really won't care anymore. Like a lot of people will tune in, and as soon as you say something to them that, you know, gets their gander up, they'll be out of here. That's fine. I'll go, you know, I'll go get an Eckhart Tolle book, or I'll go, you know, go to a Tony Robbins seminar. You know, like, I don't know, you know, whatever. Right. And the thing that you need to recognize is that if you're sitting and you're listening to me and I say something that ticks you off, that's your sign that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Right. Because the personal self, it wants to fight against it. And as soon as you witness that, it means, oh, there's something of value here. You know, something is here that can move me beyond that. But I have to be willing to humble myself enough to be able to stand in the spot where I'm going to observe me, right? From a very objective place and not the subjective place we're all used to. We're all so busy fighting, you know, what we think is the good fight of our beliefs and how we're right. And if you don't agree, you're wrong. And I have to prove you wrong and show that I'm right. You know, that's lovely. Great, makes you feel super, and you can do it for another 26,000 years should you care to. Right? Because that's what you're looking at, you know? What was it? I think it was like Dr. Phil or something used to say, you know, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And there's truth in that. There really is. Because outside of the need to be right, you could just be in your heart. I mean, you'd just be at complete peace with everything. It wouldn't matter what's going on around you, you know? I mean, who's right anyway? What did you, ooh, this is the perfect time. You said something to me earlier about something you witnessed, with the woman and talking about money, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
This is the perfect time to bring that in. So tell us that.
All right. So I was at work and, I heard a woman, I didn't hear the whole conversation. I did know that it was about money, and apparently she came into a good sum of money. And she was walking around kind of very cocky and saying, this is my life. This is my life. This is what happens. And for a second there, I kind of got envious because I don't have money. So, but then I could, like, but in a split second, I could actually see that we were each in that whole cycle of the patterning, and we were just at different places. And eventually we would switch and I would have money and she wouldn't. Like, it was just, I could see that we were both on that same cycle, but just at different places.
Yeah. And that is an incredible thing when you witness it, because if I asked Pielian right now, like, how many times did you hear me say that that's what's going on here?
A million.
Right. Maybe not that many, but a lot. Right. And now, and how long have we been working together?
Going on 3 years.
3 years. Now. Okay. Yeah. So 3 years down the road, she has the experience that just completely locked it in place for her. Now she actually owns it. It's experiential, and she just had it and she saw, oh my God, there's one story that's being played out here. And it's just like I spoke last week. There's one story, but because the name and the form changes and we look at another person and they're at a different place within that cycle, it makes them seem separate. And that's actually not what's happening at all. But that's what allows it to keep playing, because you know, unless you do this level of work, you would never see it. How would you ever see it? You know, how would you? You just wouldn't. So again, and that's another good thing. You know, she heard me say it a million times. So again, back to the repetition thing. I will repeat the same things over and over. And it will every time, you know, kind of like push its way a little deeper into your consciousness. And then at some point, you know, through the beauty of the masters who are working with you and all of these things, something will be set up in your life where you actually are going to experience it. And you'll have the opportunity to experience that thing that you've been holding a mental understanding of. And that experience is what creates the shifting, right? That's why I say to people, like, I'm not a teacher, because I'm really not here to teach, because what we just said earlier, you're really not here to learn anything. You're here to unlearn all the garbage. And, you know, I'm not here to teach, but I can guide you. So I've walked the path, right? I've had my experiences, and it is those experiences that I can use to help guide you through your own experiences, right? So, you know, this comes back to the concept that, you know, your life is your spiritual path. I think we said that in the first program, but it's so important that you get that through your head. Going to church is not any different than going to the grocery store concerning your spiritual work. It's not. It just isn't. Okay. Every moment is spiritual, because there's nothing that exists outside of spirit. That's all there is. Right. So for you very, very logical people, that should make sense to you. Everything is spirit. Therefore, how could anything not be spiritual? And that's just another concept that's being held onto, that there is, you know, this means I'm spiritual, but if I do that, it means I'm not. Right. Is the atheist any less spiritual than the Roman Catholic? I don't think so. The Roman Catholic holds a different set of beliefs, right? And a different set of judgments than the atheist does, but they're standing in the same place. Okay. So hold on to that. That's really important. You've got to recognize that it's what you're experiencing as your life in every moment that is leading you to the next experience. And it is the experiences and the understandings that you come into through your experiences that will ultimately walk you out of the life-death cycle. Yeah.
One thing that I wanted to comment on, because you were saying about being triggered and a lot of people want to run from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say, you know, when I came to work with you, I was one of those people that were on my knees, desperate. But, you know, when the work first came up, and if I was triggered, it was scary. And mm-hmm. there were, my reaction in the beginning was, oh man, now I got to look at this. Like, you know, I mean, I'm being honest. It was,
yeah.
It was,
you feel kind of beat up. Yeah.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. I have to say, now if something comes up, really, it's, sounds strange to say, but I'm like, oh good, like
yeah
now I get to see something else. It's exciting.
It is. And that's the beautiful shift that happens when the observer becomes strong enough It actually becomes this very fun, almost, it almost feels like a little game. Like, ooh, what are we going to discover about, you know, PLA or Lish? Well, what are we going to discover about Lish's personality today? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Where else is she seeing herself separate from all that is? And it does become that, you know, it's like you're looking for it everywhere. It's a beautiful space to sit in, you know, and it's great because it's like, you have to be so humble to do it, you know, because you realize, and you know, I'm not one normally to swear a whole lot, but you know, you come to the understanding, you're like, I'm an asshole, you know? It's perfectly okay. And I say that, that's my personal little nod to Atona Reyes, because she said that to me one day when we were just meeting and just starting to work together, you know, and she was sitting across from me and she's like, I'm an asshole, you know? And I was like, I was shocked because of course I hadn't done the work yet. So I was like, oh, you know, how could you call yourself a spiritual teacher and say something like that? Right. And now it's our little inside joke because that's what you see, you know, and whatever you want to define that word as, you'll find it in yourself. It's there. Of course it is. You have to be all of it, right? And remember, you are all of it, but you're only holding the belief that you're some of it, and you're seeing yourself everywhere else. You're projecting yourself. You're projecting your beliefs into this outside world. You know, and right now you have a concept that the outside world is this very expansive, spacious thing, and it's not. It's a projection on the screen of the mind, you know? So it's all just, it's like a movie, right? It's a movie that in the beginning, you know, you're the actor that actually believes they're the person that's they're doing that thing, right? And then it turns into the actor who kind of wakes up to the fact, oh, I'm really actually not that role. That was just a role. You know, I'm not really a doctor. I just play one on TV, right? It's like that kind of a thing, right? And then you move into the awareness that you're actually just watching it through a TV screen. You're not any of it. You're just watching all of it. You're just the awareness of all of that moving, and you're not even the one doing the moving, because that's not happening. Right. Now that's a very trippy thing for people to hear for the first time. What do you mean I'm not the doer? Like, that will freak people out. And if it just freaks you out, then, you know, congratulations. That's a beautiful thing. Cause you just had your first glimpse, and that's a lovely thing. But people can't, you know, what do you mean? Like, I feel my hands and I'm the one who gets up and walks. And when you say to them, do you really? Is that accurate? You know? And doing the work allows them to start getting in deep enough to really start to witness what's going on. And then they see I'm the witness of what appears to be happening here, you know, just witnessing. Byron Katie said something once that I just adored. She said, I'm always excited to see what my hand will reach for, you know, like in the pantry. Because she's not the one making the choice, right? It's just happening, and she's there to witness it. And so it's like this exciting little, ooh, what's going to happen next, right? It's a very cool space to sit in. Very, very cool. Now, it takes a while to get to that place, obviously. You know, for someone like Katie, it was spontaneous, but she was as low as you were going to get before her spontaneous realization came to her. For people who are going to kind of trudge their way through it, it takes quite some time to come into that place where you actually have the experience of it. But again, it doesn't diminish the value of me bringing it forward and saying, this is an actual experience that you will have. You'll have the experience of being the witness and not knowing what's going to happen next. And just sitting there kind of on the edge of your seat going, ooh, I can't wait to see, you know? Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, we actually have some questions. All right. The first one is from Linda. And she said, a bit earlier, Shusara stated we should just be sitting with the energies that are triggering the emotions that are being experienced. So since mind went directly to processing how I learned, is that ego trying to keep attachment?
To see the energy moving and then go into processing work with it? Is that the question? Is that just ego functioning? I'm sorry, I'm trying to follow the whole question. Okay, so maybe, yeah. I'm not sure if Linda heard our program last week. So let me slow this down just a little bit. The purpose of sitting with the energy is, really powerful when you have an automatic trigger. Okay. When there's something that, you know, maybe you're someone who gets really triggered by people who are being disrespectful. Okay. What you would consider disrespectful. So you find you're, say, a dad. And if your child says something to you that you find disrespectful, you just fly off the handle immediately. Right. And maybe like scream or, you know, punch the wall or who knows what. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Cause that's reactive mind just takes over and the person is not even capable of being rational at that point. So I was saying last week, the best thing you can do is as you're doing this level of work, if you know that you have triggers that are that strong, the best thing you can do is in that moment when you witness it, force yourself to just stop and then go sit down and do nothing. Don't think about it. Don't do anything. Just be the observer of the energy. Because the energy is looking for a place to dock in. And if you don't take any kind of action, it will automatically dissipate and you actually will start to see what's happening there. Now, for people who are just, you know, we're going to say like a regular level of triggering, saying like, you're sitting in your living room looking out the window and the mailman drives by and they, you know, go up over the curb and they run over your rose bush. Let's say, I don't know. And it really irritates you that they just ruined your rose bush. That's a different level that's going on. That's one where if you have learned processing work, that's the perfect thing. Drop everything you're doing and just go process it right now because it's fresh. You're right in the middle of it. You'll see the most when it's really right after it happens. And so, yeah, that's when you sit down and do that work. Remember that I'm going to make an assumption that this is a Linda that I know here because of the way that was worded. Remember that mind, the lower mind is playing all the roles here. Okay. So lower mind is actually playing the seeker. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. So you're using the lower mind is using the lower mind to dissolve the lower mind, if that makes sense, right? It obviously can't take it all the way, but it's going to play all the roles up until a certain point. So, you know, is it the ego who does that? Well, sure it is, but it's a necessary component to go deeper into the work. Yeah.
Okay. And then there's a question from Meg, and she wants to know, what is the life-death cycle?
What is the life-death cycle? Oh, yeah. So that's the cycle of reincarnation, right? It is the cycle that came into being when consciousness fell on the planet. So like I said earlier, you know, you are beginningless and endless. So is there any life or death within that? No, that would be impossible, right? Life on one side, death on the other is polarized. And, what happens is that consciousness, when it has identified with the concept of I, now is locked into a program that seems to have a beginning and it seems to have an end. And it really doesn't, you know, because it's like, someone will transition out and literally based on where they're sitting at the time of, physical death, you know, literally they can get sucked right back into a body. You know, immediately. Not that that happens to everybody, but it's possible. So now you start another thing and then you're going to have to be born and live a whole life and then die again, just back and forth. And that's not your nature. Certainly. There is no, you know, as a divine emanation of all that is, you know, you carry all the knowledge of eternity, right? It's only here that you're experiencing this thing where you have to be born and not know anything. And then you learn everything that you learn and then you die and you lose it all again. That's not natural to your beingness, but it is a program that's, you know, running and has to be transcended through seeing through it. Not, you know, change it. Remember I said, we're not here to change it. The program's the program. Let it be the program. It's fine. You will transcend the program, right? Walk out of it. Mm-hmm. And they call that ascension. Yeah.
We have a question from Anna.
Oh.
And she says, what was that thingy that didn't...
All right.
She wants to know about the 4 billion year thing. She said that she didn't catch all that, and why was it so special? I want to call it Isis. It's a comet.
Oh, Ison. Yeah.
That's
it. So yeah, they just said it's 4.5 billion years old, and it's been, you know, moving at the rate of speed it's moving at, which is incredibly fast. And it's taken it 4.5 billion years just to get to the place it got in our solar system, which is the same age as our solar system. And my point there was just to give you a glimpse, if you can even comprehend what that looks like. Now, come into the understanding that you are so far greater than even that. You know, I mean, you can't even wrap yourself around 4.5 billion years of moving like that. Like, how big is space if it's been moving that far? And you're greater than that. You know, all of that exists within you. Right. And that's my point. Should we take, I'm looking at the time here. Should we take a minute and start to talk about the roles that get played?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, because I really want to get you to a place where we can start looking at how you will begin to uncover what's functioning in your reality. So we talked about, we've talked, I think, for two shows now, the primal imprint and what happened at that moment when consciousness identified with the concept that there could be an I. There are roles that get played by the lower mind, the identified consciousness. And like I just said to Linda, I think it was, you know, the lower mind is playing all the roles, okay? It can break down to three very, very basic ones that we will use over and over and over again in our work, because you have to see how you actually are all three. Even though you want to point to other people as being one of the components, but we're going to start to look at how this reality is created. It's a cyclical program. Okay. So let's not forget that. It's really important you hold on to that. It's a cycle, and it's a cycle that just wants to keep running. Okay. Kind of like a water wheel. You know, if you get a water wheel going, it takes over on its own and you don't have to do anything to it anymore as long as the water is still running. Right. And that's exactly how you function as your personality, until the water of the personality stops running, you know, and then you start to see what's actually going on. But in what we have to start to witness is where you get triggered with things happening in your world. So let's use the mailman driving over the rosebush thing. In that moment, you got upset. And there was a reason you became upset. And the reason is because you identified in that moment with a certain role. You took on a role, okay, in the moment. And we would call that the victim role, okay? You just experienced being victimized by something, all right? It happened because a belief of yours or multiple beliefs just got challenged. And when it got challenged, it left you in this space where you feel victimized by another, in this example, person, the mailman. And we're going to call the mailman the perpetrator, right? So he's the bad guy. So we're going to call him the perpetrator, and you're the victim, right? Okay. Now, if you hated your rosebush, if you like really despised your rosebush, you might be happy that the mailman just ran over your rosebush, right? And in that, he's not a perpetrator, is he? Because he just did you a favor. He might be your savior because you hate your rosebush and you were dreading having to go out there and dig it up, right? So this is what I am going to ask you to start looking at in your life. You are constantly playing one of the roles that is part of the major cycle here. You're either a perpetrator, you're a victim, or you're a savior, okay? And they play themselves out in pretty interesting ways. And they're very subtle, because sometimes you'll be your own savior and you won't see it. You're going to start to see it. I promise. Keep listening. There are times you are the perpetrator. You will not see it. There are times you're the victim. You will not see it. Okay. So today I wanted to just start to touch on these roles so that for the next week, you can start to pay attention. Understand you will never, ever get upset about anything unless you feel victimized. All right. It's impossible. It just can't happen. So in your sense that you are being victimized, that means there has to be a perpetrator there victimizing you. Now, it doesn't have to be a person. It could be the weather, right? If you were looking forward to a sunny day and it's raining, now you're mad at the rain, right? Right? I mean, literally, it could be a piece of furniture that you stubbed your toe on. It doesn't have to be a person. The greatest understanding you will come into is when you start to witness that it doesn't matter who the perpetrator is in any given moment. You always are experiencing the primal imprint. You are experiencing the lower mind who sees God as the ultimate perpetrator. Okay? It goes back to the experience of being cast out of that space where, consciousness knew itself to be beginningless, endless, formless, single being, knowledge, bliss, and now standing in the space of the identified personal self and wanting to get back and not being able to get back or having the experience that it's not able to get back. So everything that comes up that triggers you, that thing over there that we're going to call perpetrator, always represents the light. It always represents God every single time. Remember, there's only one story playing out, right? That's the story. But we get it confused because, you know, it's the mailman and we can't see the mailman as God, right? We see the mailman as Joe or whatever. And we see me as me. Right. So we can't see that this is the story that's playing out, but this is the story that's playing out over and over and over. And we call it different things. We come up with different names, you know, but it's always the same story. So what I want you to start looking for is, oh, here's something just happened and it ticked me off. Right. So in this moment, I feel victimized that he shouldn't have done that. Right. I'm going to sit in judgment. I want you to start looking. Where is it that I'm, how am I judging the person? Right. Now, remember the judgment is there to support the belief. Okay. It allows you, if you sit in judgment of someone, and boy, a lot of you are going to struggle with this because I promise you have convinced yourself that you're not a judgmental person. Everyone I work with struggles with this because no one wants to say I'm judgmental, but you are. It's the only way it works here. So you're going to judge them for whatever, and you'll have a reason for, you'll be able to justify your judgment. Okay. But the judgment is there for you to feel good about holding the belief that you're holding, right? And it actually allows you to feel good about feeling bad about them, right? It makes it okay in your mind. And then when that happens, there's something that's going to happen that's going to cause you to swing out of that state where you feel victimized. Maybe it's you running out the door and screaming at the mailman as he drives down the road, you know, you son of a blank, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's, you could be angry about what just happened and you walked over, you punched the wall, right? Maybe it's you feeling like it makes you just feel sick to your stomach because you've got a money issue, right? And you paid $30 for that rose bush and you just trashed it. Oh, I have to buy a new one now, you know, and you feel like horrible. And maybe you go to the freezer and get some ice cream because you always feel better when you eat ice cream. Something like this is going to happen. And that is what we call the swing. There's some kind of action that gets taken that then the action itself will enable you to start to feel better, to move into what we would call the upward states of consciousness or states of mind rather, or the positive states of mind. And now this whole cycle can move really fast. Like you may take a bite of ice cream and like you have that moment of, oh, ice cream's so good, you know? And then the thought, the picture of the dude running over your rose bush comes into the head again. And then you spiral again, boom. And now you have to do something else to pull out, right? But that thing that enables you to pull out is the savior. Sometimes it's a person, you know, people are taught on this planet to be good friends. You're basically supposed to be a savior for a person, right? Oh, it's okay, honey. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. That's the savior. That's what the savior does. Okay. And then you need to start witnessing where you're being a perpetrator to others. Okay. There are things that you are doing, and I promise you are. You're doing things purposely. It's unconscious, but you're doing things purposely to trigger other people. And those of you who can witness that you're passive aggressive, you'll start to see it. Like, oh my God, I just said that because I wanted him to be angry. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, it takes great humility to do this work because you start to see things about yourself that are not very flattering. You know, you really do. But remember, at the core of it, it's not you. It's never you. It never has been you. You can't be that identified thing that you are looking at and starting to pick through. It is not you. Right? You are untouchable. You're divine. You're perfect. Absolutely perfect. But you're not that personality that you think you are. Okay. And that personality is what gets seen through. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Since we have just a few seconds left, can we plug the sites?
Yeah, we can do that. We're still working on the, our Shambhala Center site, but it is theshambhalacenter.org. We're on Facebook at the Shambhala Center. Anything else there?
Probably mention Create a New World.
Oh, yes, that's right. And part of what we do with Shambhala Center is we have another, we call it our service leg, Shambhala Center, which is Create a New World. We have a really fun global social network there. You can go to addyourenergy.com and you can join us there. It's a free site. We've got scads of videos and articles and very cool things going on there for people who are real heart-based and just want to be part of the collective that is, you know, working to keep this world a beautiful, beautiful place. You know, just because we do deep spiritual work does not mean that we take our focus off of the world. It's important. You know, we are here to experience love here. We can bring our understandings from the illumined worlds and live them here. That's the point. Yeah. So it's not about escaping. It's about grounding it in here. Oh, that's a really big point. I hope you listen to that and sit with that one. We'll have to spend more time on that. She's writing it down right now because that's so important. People do think they're doing this work because they want to escape this. No, no, no. Mm-mm. You're here to bring those understandings and ground them here. Okay. If you're thinking you're going to run away, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. All right. So we will wrap up another program. Thank you so much for tuning in with us again. This was very fun tonight, taking a few questions, and maybe going forward, we'll start to take some live questions too, which would be great. Much love to you for the next week. Remember, it's only energy. Stay in your core, right? Be humble, be grateful. We love you. Thank you. Good night. You are endless. You are divine.